You may take your seats, please. Hallelujah. Last week, I remember Apostle Paul saying something. He said, there's very little of Christ left in Christmas. What we are doing, you're doing our part to make sure we bring Christ back into Christmas. Really, he really is why we are celebrating all this. And so we really have to make him a big part of it. I mean, imagine me having my birthday party, and I invite every single one of you to my birthday party. And then all of you come bearing gifts like gold watches, perfumes, aftershaves, and all that. You come, and instead of giving it to me, you exchange it among each other. And then you just say, happy birthday, Zilla, and then you go home. How do you think I'll feel? Exactly, and that's how Jesus feels, because we come, we exchange gifts amongst each other, and we forget the real reason why we are doing what we are doing. So let's not forget God in this. Hallelujah. I like the way Matthew puts the birth of Jesus. He said Joseph and Mary were planning to get married. In fact, they were engaged, ready to get married. And then somehow, one day, an angel visits Mary and says to Mary, I may have to interrupt your plans. What you think is going to be a wedding is going to be a baby shower. And at first, it doesn't make sense to Mary, but she accepts it. But it was Joseph who had a problem accepting it. Said, no way. I didn't think Mary could do this to me. And so he decided to walk off quietly and not complain. But the Bible says an angel appeared to him at night and said to him, Joseph, what is conceived in Mary is of me. And so do not walk away. And as a result, he changed his mind. Now, the point I want to make this morning is we have plans. We make plans. But there are times that God will intercept our plans. And not because the plans we do are bad in themselves, but it's because he's got better plans for us. He's got bigger plans for us. In Luke, the Bible says that the angel told Mary that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive and have a child. He will be great and his kingdom will last forever. Anything that is born of the Spirit is great. Anything that is born of the Spirit lasts forever. And so if God steps into your situation, he wants to do something in you that is born of the Spirit, something that will last, something that has got eternal value. Hallelujah. And so as we go through this year, if God interrupts your plan, or if for any reason you feel like your plan hasn't gone the way it should go, know that God is stepping because he wants to do something amazing and something unique in your life. If you believe, say, I believe this morning. You know, the Bible says, when Jesus came, he did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many men. And anytime you hear the word ransom, chances are there are captives involved. Because you can't have a ransom without captives. And the question is, what is it that we've been held captive to? What is it that we must be in some sort of bondage? That is why Jesus came to save us. And so what is it that he has come to deliver us from? And I like the story in Acts chapter 3. If we can go there, please. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I read from verse 1. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now watch this. This guy was lame from birth. It's no fault of his. He was lame from birth. And every single day, what he would do is, people would carry him. As long as he's lived, people will carry him to the gate to beg. That is no way to live. That is no way to live. First of all, you are lame from birth. And then when people carry you, it's not carry you to any good place. They take you to a place where the suffering continues, where you go to beg. That is no way to live. I always said that, we were not born just to pay bills and die. There's more to our lives than we know. There's more to our lives than we know. And so it's people like this that Jesus came for. Now, I don't know what it is that you are facing, what condition it is that you're going through. With him, he was born lame and he had to suffer every single day. I don't know what it is that is stopping. Anything that stops you from living the life that God has called you to live must be dealt with. Anything, whether an attitude, whether a character, whether an emotional issue, anything that stops you from living the life that God has called you to live must be dealt with. And so this guy, he goes there that day, and then he sees Peter and John about to enter, and he asks them for money. Next verse. Peter looks straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something. But that day, you know what happened? His expectation was exceeded. He went in that day thinking it was going to be the same day. He went to think he was just going to get some money, but that day his expectation was exceeded. And that is why Jesus came, to exceed our expectation. Anytime he steps into your situation, it's because he wants to exceed your expectation. You are there thinking, this is what I need. But Jesus said, no, this is what you want. I will give you what you need. I will exceed your expectation. He says, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Next verse. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." That was what he wanted. "But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He wanted silver and gold. But Peter said, "No, I've got the ransom needed to set you free. I've got the ransom needed to change your life. I've got the ransom that Jesus paid for to transform your life." And then he goes, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he holds him and he pulls him up. And then next verse, see, then taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. This year, somebody will praise God. Yeah. I say, somebody will praise God this year. And next year, not only would you walk, you will leap and jump because of what God is going to do. May he exceed your expectation in the name of Jesus. He has the ability. I always say that, look, if God came, he says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. It's for this reason, to destroy everything that the enemy has placed in your life to stop you from attaining your destiny. For this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. And that is what Jesus is coming to do, or he's come to do, to destroy everything that is stopping you from attaining your destiny. Hallelujah. And I was to see jump, and I said, this year somebody will jump and leap because of what God is about to do. Now he does something interesting in verse 11. Watch this. Let's jump to verse 11. It says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now let's go to verse 11, please. Yeah. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Why does it surprise you that he's walking? Why does it surprise you?" This is the very reason why Jesus came, to transform lives. So don't be surprised when you see God moving in your life, because that is the very reason why he came. But if you go to verse 11, what is in verse 11? It says this. Let's go to 11. So while the man held on to Peter, this is somebody who was jumping and leaping earlier on, but now he's holding on to Peter and John. He was jumping earlier on, but now he's holding on to Peter and John. Look, it's one thing for God to set you free, but it's another thing to sustain that freedom. And to sustain that freedom, you need to hold on to the word, which is Christ. And that was what he was in, holding on to it. Because as you step into 2018, believe me, even though God has freed you, you will need him to sustain that freedom. Because the enemy, believe me, is not going to leave you as you are. He will try and throw things at you. But you need the power and strength of Jesus to sustain that victory that he's giving you. Hallelujah. If you believe God in this, I'll say, I believe. God would change your situation, I believe. It's no coincidence that Pastor Paul is declared, or God revealed to Pastor Paul, that 2018 is going to be our year of Jubilee. So get your trumpets ready. Get your handkerchiefs ready. Whatever it is that you use to praise God, get it ready. Except maybe you don't want to use alcohol, because you might miss the point. We don't want people drunk going into 2018. But get your trumpets ready, because God is about to do something that you've never seen before. He's about to do something. He says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. Sickness in itself is not sin. Poverty in itself is not sin. But these things come about as a result of sin. And so if God does away with sin, all these things will have to be dealt away with. I see somebody walking into their breakthrough in 2018. I see somebody jubilating because of what God has done. You know, I said the other day, don't you think Jesus deserves what he paid for? He does. He deserves what he paid for. So why don't you just submit him and give him that victory? He came. It's because of you that he came, that you might have life, John 10:10, and have it more abundantly. He deserves what he paid for. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. I see somebody's situation changing in 2018. And as we're about to step into 2018, I saw something in the book of Joshua when he was preparing Israelites, the children of Israelites, to conquer the promise or to step into the promised land. And if we go to Joshua chapter 1, I'll show you something there. Joshua chapter 1. The children of Israel had wandered in the desert or in the wilderness for so long, but eventually the time has come for them to cross into the promised land. How many people know that God's promises are yes and amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I'll give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now they are about to cross into the promised land. This is a promise that God gave them long ago. But for a long time, they've been wandering in the wilderness thinking, when is this going to be? Finally, the time has come for them to cross and step into where God has for them. Finally, the time has come for us to cross and step into our year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Finally, the time has come. But I see God doing something here. He says, watch this. He says, I'll give you every place where you set your foot. He's trying to give them something to look forward to. In where they are going. He says, I'll give you every place that you set your foot upon. He says, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates. And he begins to map out everything he has for them, just trying to inspire them to see where they are going. And if you need any inspiration, the inspiration that the year of Jubilee is next year should inspire you to look forward to that year. Hallelujah. But he says, in verse 3 again, it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, I don't know how many people here have promises from God. Some promises come quickly, others take time. And I don't know how far you've been waiting God, how far you've been waiting on God for a promise that he's given you. You know, I remember in the book of John chapter 11, verse 35, or John chapter 11, when Jesus said to Martha, he said, did I not tell you, you will see God's glory if you believe? Did I not tell you, you will see God's glory if you believe? Can we go to John chapter 11, please? John chapter 11, just want to show you something there quickly. John chapter 11, from verse 35. John 11, 35. And Jesus wept. He wept because they had sent information to him that Lazarus was dead. And instead of getting in there early, he tarried. And when he got there, Lazarus was dead. And so he wept. The next verse. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Of course he could have. He could have. By the way, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. But you see, anytime it feels like God is delaying in your situation, in your case, it's because, like I said, he's got something better in store for you. He absolutely has something better in store. Look, there's no problem that you can face. There's no situation that you can face that his promises aren't bigger than. His promises are bigger than any situation or any circumstance you ever face in your life. No matter how long it may seem, his promises are yes and amen. And so these guys, Joshua and all the guys, are standing, just getting ready to cross into the Jordan. And God is saying, to cross into Jericho rather. And God is saying, look, I've given you this land, I've given you that land, I've given you that land. In Joshua chapter 1, let's go there, please. I've given you that land. And what God is trying to do, he's trying to inspire them. Because when you've lived in the wilderness for more than 40 years, for such a long time, the inspiration to do anything else is gone. It's gone. The mental strength, everything is gone. Because you've been in the wilderness for so long that you can't even see your way. Joshua just took over from Moses, because it was Moses initially who was leading them. But now he's dead, and Joshua is having to take over. And now they are at the edge of their breakthrough. And God is saying, look, do not be discouraged. If you read it, say, be strong and be courageous, because I have given you the land. That is inspiration. He was giving them inspiration. You go to the next verse, Joshua chapter 2. You see, Joshua begins to do some kind of investigation into the land. For those of you who were here last week, Pastor Paul spoke a bit about the year of Jubilee, and maybe you want to listen to that message. He was doing investigation into the land. Joshua sent 2 spies into the land in Joshua chapter 2. If we go to Joshua chapter 2, he sends 2 spies, not like Moses. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. 10 of them came back and gave a negative report. 10 of them, they came back and gave a negative report. And it's interesting that these 10 were able to influence over 2 million people. 2 million people. And as a result, none of them were able to step into the promise that God gave them. It's because of their attitude. And God says something about Caleb. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly, he will see the promised land. And if you look in the dictionary, a spirit, the definition of a spirit is somebody with a good attitude. And if you're going to step into your breakthrough, you need an attitude that is different from everyone else. An attitude that's completely different from everyone else. Listen, you can't make a difference in the world if you're like everyone else. You need to step out, stand out. You need to stand out. And so this time, before Joshua steps into to Jericho, he sends 2 spies, not 10. Because what at times in life, as you mature, you realize that you've got to be selective even in your friendship. You've got to be absolutely selective. You need to go with people who identify with you, people who share your vision, people who share your goals, people who understand you, people who encourage you, people who strengthen you, people who are destiny helpers. That's what you go with. You don't want to go with people who constantly discourage you, constantly tell you what is wrong about your life. You go with people who encourage you. And so you see, Joshua sends just 2 people, and then they come back and they come with a good report. That's the investigation part of Joshua chapter 2. They investigate the land and they see that now we are ready to go. And in Joshua chapter 3, initiative, they step out. They step out. Now, God can give you all the promises he wants. He can give you all the breakthroughs you want. But if you don't step out and take it by faith, you always be where you are. And so they step out. They step out. Listen, I'll just read Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. What is this? It's crossing the Jordan. So first of all, God promises them. Finally, the promise has arrived. God encourages them. And then Joshua goes and investigates the place, and he sees that, look, it's what God says we should do. So let's go. And then in Joshua chapter 3, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they come before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. It says this, let me read verse 3. It says, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. How many of you know that the ark represents the presence of God? So you don't move unless God moves. Even though he said it's your year of Jubilee, you don't move unless he moves. And you follow him. Follow him. Keep your distance, he says, because at times you can be too familiar with God and you might not know what he's trying to do. So keep your distance. It's respect. Have a good respect for God. Have a good respect for his word. And follow him, because he's taking you to a place that you've never been before. And it's your year of Jubilee. Now it's your duty to say, Lord, which areas in my life do you want me to break through in this year of Jubilee? And you listen to him. Don't jump ahead of God. Say, Lord, which areas of my life? Is it in my finances? Is it in my marriage? What areas of my life are you giving me victory in? Hallelujah. It says, watch this. It says, follow him, that you will know which way to go. That's the only way. Because you don't follow him, you might miss it. The only way to know which way to go is to follow him. Trust in the Lord with all your mind and all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, the Bible says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hallelujah. Now in verse 4, they are finally there. Finally there in verse 4. So number one, God, in Joshua chapter 1, you see that God is trying to encourage them. To Joshua is investigating. 3, now they start the process of crossing over. In Joshua chapter 4, look at what they are doing. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests were standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelite. Now, I find it interesting that after they've crossed and gone on to the other side, God commands them to go back and pick up stones and then bring back into where they've been. Now, you see, when you cross over, or when you transition from 2017 into 2018, there are some things definitely you don't want to take with you. You need to leave them behind. But there are some things like experience that you want to take with you. You don't want to repeat the same mistake again. It's not what happens to you, they say, but it's how you react to it. So there are some things that you don't want to take with you into 2018. But there are lessons learned in 2017 that you want to take with you into 2018. So you don't repeat mistakes that you did again. Because we are going forward, not backwards. And that's the point God wants to make. And so if all that happens to you in 2017, you haven't learned anything, then you're in trouble. You need to say, God, what is it? What lessons? What did I do really well? What could I do differently in 2018? Hallelujah. And in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, watch this. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Let's jump to 6, verse 20. It says, when the trumpet sounded, Joshua 6, 20. Just bear with me 1 minute. I'm trying to look for where the, maybe some of the Bible scholars here would know, where they had to go around the walls of Jericho and bring the walls down. But anyway, in Joshua chapter 6, God instructs them to take their trumpets, to take everything and go around the walls of Jericho. Now, even before they go into Jericho, their trumpets were sounding. They started celebrating in anticipation of what God was about to do. And that's the point I want to make. And so as we step into 2018, you need to step in with anticipation. Don't wait till the very last day before you start preparing. I want to prepare your mind now. As you enter into 2018, don't wait till the very last minute before you start preparing. You know, God had brought the Israelites a long way. They started off as slaves in Egypt. And then he brought them into the wilderness where they were wandering about. And then eventually they crossed the Jordan River where they settled. Now they are taking possession. 2018, you've got to possess it. You are not settlers, you are possessors. You are going to possess 2018 because God is taking you. He didn't, and watch this. There's no point, God. God didn't just take them through it. Because you can go through something and not learn anything. He brought them over and brought them across. And God wants to bring you across to where you begin to celebrate. Hallelujah. God wants to bring you across to where you begin to celebrate. He says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, Joshua 6:20, is it? Thank you. It says, when the trumpets sounded, the armies shouted, and at the sound of the trumpets, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. It's your time to take possession. Amen. I say it's your time to take possession. Amen. If you believe, give God a shout of praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now that you know that he came to set you as a captive, now that you know that he's come to set you free, now is the time to get ready to step into your year. It's the time to step into your year. Because you can't go into the new year with the old strings that were holding you back. But you know that he's come to set you free. You know that he was manifested so that every work of the enemy that is stopping you from attaining your destiny, it will destroy it. And now that everything has been destroyed, you are free to step into your destiny. How many believe that they will see their destiny achieved or fulfilled in 2018? I want you to rise on your feet right now. For this reason, the Son of Man was manifested so that the works of the enemy will be destroyed. I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's a year of jubilee. And God wants to entangle you or detangle you rather from anything that is going to stop you from achieving the plans and the purposes he has for you in 2018. I don't know what promises he's giving you, but no matter how long you think his promise is taking, just know that his promises are always bigger than any problem or any situation or any circumstance you can ever face. He came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's paid the ransom for your freedom. He's paid the ransom for your deliverance. Now, I don't know what it is for you. For the guy we saw in Acts, it was the fact that he was lame his whole life, but God delivered him. Anything that stops you, it could be finances, it could be sicknesses, it could be emotional issues. Anything that stops you from living the life that God has called you to live must be dealt with. And that's why he came, to see you a captive free forever. He didn't pay with silver or gold, but he paid with his blood. His blood. You know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? There were so many people surrounding Jesus that day. But it's only that woman who was able to draw some kind of power from Jesus. It's because the rest were spectators. You know, you can be in the presence of God and be a spectator and go back the same way as you came. But God wants to bring transformation. He wants to bring change in your life. He wants you different. He doesn't want you to go back the same way as you came. The Son of God was manifested. The word manifested means he existed long ago. He already existed. He wasn't born. He existed. Can you lift up your hands right now before God? Father, I thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, here on earth. I thank you that it was for a reason and a purpose of God that you sent him, God. To free us from anything that is stopping us from achieving the destinies and the plans and the purposes that you have for us. Father, this morning I stand on the authority that I have in Jesus and I break every chain, oh God, holding us back, Lord. Any memories, oh God, that is not fit to go with us into the new year, Lord, I cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, any adversities, God, any problems, God, any situations, oh God, that has not helped us in this year, Father, I cancel all of them with the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, as we step into the new year, as we transition from 2017 into 2018, I thank you that, Lord, these things, oh God, will not come with us, God. We raise a standard against all of them, oh God. Father, I thank you for the new song, oh God, that you have been putting in our mouth, oh God, in this coming year. That every place we step, oh God, our footsteps upon, Lord, because you've given it to us, Lord, we will see that we will prevail in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, God, for the process of jubilation that you started, oh God. We thank you for its manifestation, oh God, even in 2018. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.